Our scriptures from Matthew chapter 5, page 810 of your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. These are the words of God. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word, and now we ask that in the hearing of it and the preaching of it, you would encourage our hearts and enliven our faith, so that we may be salt and light in the world. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Well, we saw last week that Christians are the salt of the earth, this being connected with the salt of the covenant found in every sacrifice that is offered in the Old Testament. Israel was to be the salt of their land, an acceptable people unto God, pleasing to Him. But they had rejected their calling. And so Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount is now forming a new people, as we've seen throughout the first four chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is forming a new people that will not only be the salt of the land in Israel, but will be the salt of the whole earth. He tells them here that they will be in every nation, making the world acceptable to God. As I said last week, this is another way of framing the Great Commission. Christians are to be sprinkled across every nation of the earth, making disciples, baptizing and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded, to make the nations pleasing to God. And now Jesus goes on to give his people another identifier. Not only are we the salt of the earth, but we're also the light of the world. We're the salt that covers the earth, making it pleasing to God. And we're also the light of the world that's lifted up over it, shining upon it. We're the light of the world. Now that tells you something about the world. If we are the light of the world, that means that the world has no light in itself. The world is dark. This contrast of dark and light, of course, goes all the way back to the very beginning. When the creation was dark and God said, "Let there be light." God is the one who brings light to the darkness. And the following days of creation follow that pattern, darkness to light, darkness to light. From the glory of the Spirit, light filled creation. And on day four, as you remember, God gave that privilege to the luminaries. He forms the sun and the moon and the stars and the firmament, and He gives them the privilege and the responsibility to shine His light, His glory upon creation. To govern it, to set times, and to direct the course of life. And every day, darkness gives way to light. Darkness, it never holds, it never stays. And every sunrise of every day is a reminder of our hope for the future. Every day the night comes, but every day, so does the sun. The darkness cannot hold. Darkness to light is the pattern of history. The world is not on a path of darkness to blacker darkness, but from light to more light. The darkness of the world this day is that of sin and rebellion. But God sent His light into the world. Into a world that did not know God, God sent Israel. It was Israel's calling to be the light of the world. You think about all that Israel had. Israel had the covenant and the promises. Israel had the temple, the word of God, which was a light for their feet and a lamp for their path. They had God's law so that they could be a nation to show the world their good deeds. And we even read in the law in Deuteronomy that the purpose of them having the law is so that the nations around them would see. So that they would see their good deeds and know that God was with them. Of all the nations of the earth, is there any God so near to the people as their God to them? It's as if God said, I'm giving you my law so the people who do not know me and who walk in darkness will come to know me. Remember, he calls them a holy priesthood, a kingdom of priests for the world. But Israel rebelled. They failed to uphold God's law. And they were plunged into the darkness of exile, into the darkness of death. It's as if God says, fine, you don't want my law? You'd rather act like the nations? Then to the darkness of the nations you will go. And yet, through the prophets, God continues to promise the coming of the light. One of the major prophets in the Gospel of Matthew that recurs over and over is Isaiah. We read in Isaiah 9, which is quoted in Matthew chapter 4. In Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. Isaiah 49, when God through the prophet gives the prophecy of Jesus, the servant of God, coming to save his people, we read this. And the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. He's saying, it's too small that I will send the Savior to only save Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is the plan for the world. It's there in the Old Covenant. It's being fulfilled in the New. The plan is for continual increase of light over darkness, righteousness over sin, faithfulness over rebellion, life over death. Isn't that the good news of the victory of the Son of God? The world is not destined to go from worse to worse until Jesus comes back. It's meant to go from light to greater light as the enemies of God are converted and conquered and placed under the feet of Jesus. And it's done through the faithfulness of the church. Jesus tells us in our text this morning that the light we shine in the world is our good works. And this is what God promises. We see in Isaiah 58. Is this not the fast that I've chosen for you? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke upon you? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover them, and do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, and you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Those are good works that the world needs. Those are the good works that the world needs to see from the church. Caring for one another the way that God has cared for us is the shining of a great light in the darkness. Remember I said in the sermon last week, Jesus is calling us to be who you are. I've said you're the salt of the earth, now be it. I've said you're the light of the world, now be it. God calls us sons and daughters, now be it. Be who you are. Again, in Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, we read this promise. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Your light has come, and it is the glory of the Lord. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness over the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. The light of the church is meant to bring kings and the nations to Jesus. God shines on us, and we begin to shine in the world. And all of this light, all of this glory is meant to draw the nations and kings to the church. We see glimmers of this from the prophets recounting the time of exile in Israel. Remember, Daniel. at Nebuchadnezzar's side, Nebuchadnezzar converts. You'll see him in heaven when you get there. Even a portion of our scriptures is written by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. One solitary light, Daniel, at the hand of the emperor of Babylon, and he converts. In Isaiah 45, we read that Cyrus the king is called God's anointed one. He is God's Messiah, with a small m, for the sake of Israel. Cyrus is converted. In our history of the church, we have a long line of Christian kings from Constantine to Alfred the Great that were drawn to the light of God by the church. The church is still meant to exist in the world in such a way that our leaders will bow the knee to the King of Kings. Is the church living like that now? Do we and our brothers and sisters live in such a way to be the light in the world that draws the wicked out of darkness? That draws our leaders to the obedience of Jesus the King? Reading the Bible should give you the optimistic hope that light always wins. Darkness will be chased away. Sins will be overcome. Death will be no more. Jesus is calling his people, his disciples, those whom he shed his blood for, to be who they are. Jesus is the light of the world, and he's shown his light upon us, and he's made us the light of the world. All that victory, all that power is yours. It is the light of God that shines upon you and shines in this world. How could it ever be overcome unless we let it? So be who you are. Notice that it is a communal identity here. You all are the light of the world. We shine as a church, as a community of people, as the city of God on the earth. That's who we are. Remember, in the ancient world, they did not have lights like we do today. There was no electricity. They did not have lights on the outside of their homes or flashlights in their pockets or street lights on every corner. In the ancient world, when the sun set, it was dark. On a cloudy night with no moon, it would have been pitch black. But torches would burn in the city, and even from a great distance, a city on a hill can be seen. We get a taste of that in Montana when you're on the side of a mountain in the night and you can see miles upon miles away the glowing of a city. You don't have to fear being lost, because as soon as the sun sets, all you have to do is look for the light. That's what the church is to be like. In a world of darkness, just to put it plainly, we're to be noticeable. The church is to be simply noticeable. The church is to exist in such a way that she is seen like a lighted city to a lost wanderer in the dark. In Isaiah chapter 2, we read this: "The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above all the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Are they coming to the church to learn the ways of God? Is the church shining on a hill, showing good works before men, so that those in the darkness give glory to our Father in heaven? The promise is that God will have a city set on a hill. And Jesus says that city is you. He says he will have a light in the darkness. He will shine his light in the world. And he says that the church has become that great luminary. That's you. You are the luminary of God's glory to draw the nations to him. Remember, in the old covenant, the light of God, where was it? The light of God's presence was hidden behind curtains, behind a veil in the tabernacle, hidden away from people's eyes in the temple. The lamp of God was hidden even before Israel. Its light was only for the holy place. Now just think a moment about what Jesus has said so far. He's given his talk about salt, which every Jew sitting around him would have known is offered with every sacrifice. And the sacrifices were in the outer court of the temple. And then Jesus references light, which is the lamp of God, the light of God in the holy place. And if you look in Matthew chapter 5, the very next verses, 17 to 20, Jesus talks about the law of God. And where was the law of God hidden? It was in the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place. Jesus is moving in symbols here from salt to light to law. All of the gifts of the covenant, Jesus is bringing out to the people on the mountain. Those who are coming out of Israel to be a new Israel, Jesus is giving all the gifts of the kingdom to them. You are the salt. You are the light. You will have the law. No longer to be found in a temple, but in all the world, in every nation. He's bringing the gifts of the kingdom of heaven, the good news of the kingdom of heaven for the blessing of the world. And he's giving it to the church. Everything that was hidden is fulfilled and brought out in Jesus. Jesus is the salt that makes all things acceptable to God. Jesus is the light of the world that darkness cannot overcome. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law of God for his people. And the salt and the light and the law are to go and fill and transform all the nations of the world through the church. You're the salt. You're the light. You are citizens of his kingdom with obedient faith. And sin and rebellion and darkness of the world has no chance of winning if the church becomes who God says she is. We're called to arise and shine as the light of God in the world. As the heavenly city come down. Jesus is the light of the world, and there was a moment on earth when he was lifted up and declared that he would draw all men to himself. And that moment, of course, was the cross. One pastor strikingly says, "The cross is the lampstand on which hung the light of the world." The cross is the lampstand on which hung the light of the world. It was in that moment that darkness thought it had the victory. That the sin and rebellion and darkness of the world thought that it won. The light of the world come into our darkness, we will snuff it out. We will bury it in the dirt, we will cover it in our shadows. But the Son of Righteousness rose. The Son of Righteousness rose from the black tomb and ascended into heaven and is the ruling luminary shining his light in all the cosmos. And we're afraid. The darkness is too great for us. The sin and the rebellion in the world is overwhelming. He poured out his Holy Spirit upon the church and now we shine as his light. We are the lights. We are the new Jerusalem on a hill. If we have the light of the Lord upon us, there's no darkness that can put it out. It's not your light that shines in you, it's his. In Acts 13, verses 44 and 40 to 48, when Paul and Barnabas are preaching in Antioch, we read these words. "On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. And Paul and Barnabas grew bold, and they said, 'It is necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we will turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for the salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to everlasting life believed." You see what Paul did there with the prophecy from Isaiah? Isaiah says, this is about the servant of God who will come to save the world. And Paul says, and now this is about us, the church. Those who love darkness will hate the light. It is true. But those who hear the word of God and respond to its call will love the light. Paul says, we are the light of the world. We are light to the Gentiles for the salvation to the ends of the earth. Paul applies that prophecy to him and Barnabas. What was true of Jesus is true for his people. We are the light of the world, and yes, sometimes like Jesus, you and I will be the light on the cross. Just like Paul, just like Silas, the light persecuted by the darkness, but the darkness will never win. Jesus does not shy away from this truth. He plainly says in the verses before ours, you will be persecuted. You, the salt of the earth, you, the light of the world, you'll be persecuted for my sake. If we fall into the darkness of the grave, we will rise with the glory and the light of Jesus. God has made us lights in the world so that the darkness of sin and rebellion and suffering and death may be overcome. The church is to shine before men so that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. The world is to see the church, to see that we are different. We are to be good and beautiful and righteous and full of light in a world that isn't. We are to be the people in the world characterized by the norms of the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, mournful over sin, meek and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers. That phrase, like father, like son, should apply to us all. And it is the way in which we live together that shines the light. This is why the epistles are so filled by the apostles telling us, you know, to one another. Now, honor one another before you give honor to yourselves. Glorify one another. Love one another. Forgive one another. Help one another. Listen to one another. Put away your petty differences. Let love cover a multitude of offenses. Quit backtalking and backbiting and gossiping. Quit killing each other with your tongues. Overcome evil with good. Bless one another. Do not curse. Be quick to forgive and eager to listen. It's the community, the church, that is called to be a model city in the cities of the world. So when people see us, they say, that's the way it should be. They should see the people of God reflecting the life of God. As Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love one another, so too must you love one another. Caring for one another, working together, sacrificing for one another. We're meant to be seen as different from the world. The darkness of the world should see our light. This brings a sobering question to mind. You know, this is the part where Pastor meddles. Is Emmanuel Church a light in Helena? If Emmanuel Church were to close her doors, would our darkened city even notice? How about any of the churches in this town? Let's say, hypothetically, if all the churches closed up tomorrow, would our city be any different? Would anybody notice and say, where'd those people go? The church needs to shine so that those who are entangled in sin and lost in darkness see the light of hope. When those outside the church witness how we live, they say, oh, well, that's how parents love their children. Oh, well, that's how sons and daughters honor father and mother. That's how husbands and wives love each other. That's how Christians put their hands to their work. You know, I keep calling on these guys to come and do the work because they get it done. It just as simple as that. You show up and work on time, you're going to be praised. That's how Christians mature and handle conflict. That's what it looks like to take care of your own. When we faithfully obey God, we shine as His light in the world. When you refuse to gossip at the coffee shop. When you refuse to be lazy on a job site or in the office. When we bite our tongues from grumbling and complaining. When we live like people with an unassailable hope, we shine. When we speak of our Lord and King, we shine. We are the salt of the earth that makes Helena acceptable to God. And we are the light of the world in Helena that draws people to our Father in heaven. And simply put, brothers and sisters, we do this by being who we are. This is what's faith. God says you are the salt of the earth, so believe him. God says you are the light of the world, so believe him. Let your light shine so that you may give light to all in the house. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Be the salt of the earth, be the light of the world, and be who Christ called you to be. Because our city needs you to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, sometimes we do not believe you that it is so simple as to simply believe. And we ask, Father, that you would give us the faith like children to believe your word above all else, to believe your word above and beyond what our eyes may see, that we may be a people to salt this city and to shine within it. Let your churches rise up in Helena to be faithful witnesses to you, obeying your commandments regardless of the outcome, showing our good deeds before the eyes of men, so that all may give glory and honor to you. Help us to be who you've called us to be. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Let us stand together and sing, "Behold the glories of the Lamb." In the second chapter to the letter to the Philippian church. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as stars in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. You are stars on the earth. In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, God has called you to shine as stars in the dark. And here is the promise at this table. Your light will overcome, even if the darkness of the grave becomes yours, because your light is the light of Christ that shines in you. He was given over to death, and yet he gained the victory. His body was given, his blood was shed, and yet he rules and he reigns at the right hand of the Father, and his light shines brighter than the sun. So eat and drink in faith, that even as our bodies waste away, and even if our blood is shed, we will shine like stars in the world. May this fill your hearts with great joy as we sing the Agnus Dei.